Hey everyone, and welcome back to episode 17 of Quick Cuts, a plastic surgery podcast. On today's episode, we'll be discussing chest wall reconstruction, so let's get started. The chest wall serves several important functions, including protecting the thoracic viscera, providing chest wall stability for respiration, and supporting upper extremity function. In today's episode, we'll focus primarily on the evaluation and management of a patient with a chest wall defect. For the purposes of this discussion, think of these defects as anterior or lateral chest wall defects. We'll discuss posterior thoracic defects at a later date in an episode on spinal reconstruction. In taking a history, you should assess for any comorbidities that affect wound healing, such as diabetes, smoking, history of radiation, or poor nutrition. You should assess for pulmonary disease that may affect respiratory function and impact the need for skeletal reconstruction. You should also ask about any history of coronary artery disease, specifically with regards to prior coronary artery bypass grafting, which requires sacrifice of the internal mammary vessels, as this can impact your available reconstructive options. In a similar fashion, you should determine whether or not the patient has had prior chest, back, or abdominal wall surgeries that would impact available flap choices. On focused history, you need to determine the etiology of the wound. Common causes of chest wall defects include tumor resection, trauma, infection, and radiation. On physical exam, you should document the size and depth of the wound. You should assess for any non-viable or grossly infected tissues. Within the wound, you should document any exposed vital structures, as well as any exposed sternal wires, hardware, or exposed vascular grafts. You should again assess the patient's body for any scars or evidence of prior surgery that would otherwise impact reconstructive options. For patients with a tracheostomy, it's important to note this, as this can increase the risk of infection and wound recurrence, particularly in patients with sternal reconstruction. Imaging for workup of chest wall defects depends somewhat on the etiology of the defect. CT or MRI can be used to characterize an existing defect, identify any existing masses or infections that might dictate the extent of debridement, and identify the presence of any adjacent vital structures. Angiography can sometimes be considered if the vascular anatomy is uncertain. We'll talk next about the operative principles of chest wall reconstruction. Prior to reconstructing a defect, it's critical that all non-viable tissue, infection, and/or tumor has been completely debrided, and this is often performed in a multidisciplinary fashion. For any masses, a definitive tissue diagnosis should be obtained as well. In reconstructing a defect, you need to consider the components of the chest wall that require reconstruction. Skeletal reconstruction is performed to restore chest wall stability and prevent paradoxical chest wall motion with respiration, known as flail chest. This is classically only thought to be necessary when four or more adjacent ribs are absent or the defect is greater than 5 centimeters in dimension. Smaller defects may, however, require skeletal reconstruction if pulmonary function is compromised, while larger defects may be tolerated without skeletal reconstruction if they have been previously radiated, as radiation-induced fibrosis can actually stiffen the tissues. Skeletal reconstruction for chest wall stability can be performed with either autologous tissues or alloplastic materials like synthetic or bioprosthetic meshes. The use of permanent or absorbable plates has also been described. Selecting the appropriate technique for the soft tissue reconstruction of the chest wall depends on the size, location, and depth of the defect. Pedicled muscle flaps are the most commonly employed option for these defects. Workhorse muscle or myocutaneous flaps for soft tissue reconstruction include the pectoralis major, latissimus dorsi, rectus abdominis, serratus anterior, and external oblique. An additional option is the omentum flap, which has been well described for its use in chest wall reconstruction. The use of free flaps for this purpose are generally reserved for when local or regional options are not available. In regards to intrathoracic reconstruction, this is most commonly performed in conjunction with thoracic surgery for treatment of conditions like empyema or bronchopleural fistula. After appropriate debridement, muscle flap coverage is commonly performed. The latissimus, serratus anterior, or intercostal muscles are most commonly used for this purpose. As the thoracic cavity is often too large to completely obliterate with muscle, the muscle flaps are more commonly used to reinforce suture lines or obliterate fistula sites. In regards to complications of chest wall reconstruction, These may include reconstructive failure, morbidity related to flap donor site, and infection of mesh or hardware used in the reconstruction. And that ends our discussion on chest wall reconstruction. I hope everyone's enjoying the podcast. Feel free to subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. You can find my entire audio library, along with great online resources, at theplasticsfella.com. For questions, suggestions, or feedback about the podcast, you can reach me at jakemarksmd@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find me on Instagram or Twitter at jakemarksmd. Thanks for listening. See you next time.